Today we get to celebrate what God has done through us in our work in Guatemala. You need to understand something. This isn't about what 21 people did. This is about what an entire congregation did. Not everyone could go to Guatemala. But over the course of the last couple of years, I have come to this congregation and said, guys, today we need to take up an offering for the work that's going on in Guatemala. And as a result of the obedience and the generosity of these people, we get the report of what God did. Not all of us can go, but all of us can give. Whether it's a small amount or a large amount, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty excited about Guatemala. That was me doing the cartwheel, for those of you who are shocked. The team tried to slip that into the video without me knowing it, and I got a message from my creative director and said, Pastor, am I allowed to show this? And I said, that was very smart on your behalf to actually ask my permission for that. So we have our team here today, and each one of them is going to tell you their name and just a couple minutes about what God has done through their hearts and lives as a result of Guatemala. Tara.
As Stephen just said, my name is Tara, and this was my first trip to Guatemala, hopefully not my last. And on our first day, you'll see my friend up there. His name is Eleazar. And I saw him around a little bit on the first day that we were there, not much. But on the second day that we were in the village, he came around, and I overheard him talking to Lauren and Megan a little bit about how he had just the day before buried his two-month-old nephew. And of course, when I heard this, it stuck. If you know me, you know how much that stuck with me. So I immediately went and got Pastor Stephen, and he was like, what? So I called him over and asked him to pray for this young man, this 13-year-old little boy who could just see the sorrow in his eyes. I mean, he had no hope. So we called him over there, and he prayed over him. And after that, I got one of our translators, Luis, to come over and just talk to him a little bit and let him know that I, too, understood his pain. I understood his sorrow. He's not alone. To give it to Jesus, to pray about it, that there is hope, and he doesn't need to lose hope. This kid, he didn't want to play games. He didn't want to hang out with all the other kids. He just wanted to be with either Lauren or myself. If he wasn't with one of us, you would turn around, and he would definitely be with the other one. The day that Stephen was preaching to the kids and asked him about making a decision to follow Jesus, he was one of the first ones that had his hand up. He was right. If you would have asked him to sign the paperwork then, I think he would have done it. Throughout the days, we just, you know, spoke with him and loved on him, showed us the love. We prayed for him. On Saturday, we weren't going to be there for 2 days after Saturday, and he came up to Eddie, another one of our translators, and he said, can you ask them that when they come back, will they pray over my family? And there was nobody else around. I believe it was just Eddie, myself, and Eleazar. And I said, absolutely, we will make that happen. When we came back on Saturday, on Sunday, we had actually, in between the day, our days off, we were blessed to be able to go to a church right outside of Hope of Life. And we met a Pastor Carlos. And Pastor Carlos happened to show up. I'm sure it was planned. But he showed up to our village on Tuesday, the day of our dedication. And We went over, and obviously Eleazar came back. I found out today that, because I have his card in my hand, but I found out today that his father abandoned him at a young age. So he brought his mother and his siblings and some of his other family members there, and Stephen and Carlos come over, and Carlos actually prayed over him in Spanish. On the way down, when we haven't even left the state yet, we were still in Roanoke, Lauren and I ran into this gentleman, and he handed us out these little wooden cross necklaces, and he said, if you find a family or someone in need that you think would like these, please hand them out in your village. I had kept one with me, and that day, the last day there, I gave one to Eleazar. I'll let Lauren tell her story in a minute, but the most powerful moment with Eleazar, though, happened on our bus, and if you'll forgive me, I need to read this, because I don't want to mess up exactly what he said, but this shy little kid who I don't think I saw him speak to maybe five people the entire week, wanted to get on the bus and speak to us and have Eddie translate. And this is what he said. Thank you for coming to Loma del Viento. Thank you for taking my sorrow away through your kindness. And I can't wait to see you next year.
So I'm Lauren, and I was blessed to go last year to Guatemala as well. And two kids, all of them did, but two kids in particular really just stole my heart, one being Eliezer. And as Tara said, we were planning to pray with his family on the last day, and we were kind of getting everything together the night before, and I heard Cecile tell Carol that we didn't have any more Spanish Bibles to give out. And immediately, before I even realized it, I was like, I do. And I was running to go get it. And as I was running, I was like, where did that come from? Because someone had given me a Spanish Bible years ago, and I'd really been praying that God would show me who I needed to give that Bible to. And honestly, I'd completely forgotten that I had even brought it with me until that moment. And I was like, this is the family that God wants me to give it to. And when we were able to hand them that Bible and seeing him and his mom just flip through the pages so excited with the sense of hope that I hadn't seen before, it was something I can't even describe in words. And then my other little buddy is 10-year-old Christina, who is just full of spunk, and she makes fun of your Spanish, and she follows you around, and she tries to help you understand. But on the last day, she kept asking me to come to her house, and I was like, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, we didn't have any extra people to go with me, and I was like, we can hang out here. Well, she disappeared, and then she returned with this. And as I unwrapped it, I realized that it was a photo of her with a note on the back. And the note said, "Hi, Lauren. I'm so happy and I thank God that you are here in Guatemala to share beautiful moments with us. I ask God to take care of you when you return to the United States. Thank you for everything and I love you so much. Christina." And I thought, wow, this little girl that doesn't know where her next meal is coming from is giving me a gift and praying for me. And in that moment, I saw Jesus, and I want to be just like her. And
hi, I'm Megan. This was my first time going to Guatemala, like with my sister Tara. And at first, I wasn't really sure about how I was going to do there. And so I went just because I felt like I was called to go. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't like kids. What am I going to do? There's so many little kids there. And then the first moment I stepped off the bus, it was like, oh my goodness, how could I have ever said that I didn't like kids? They were so beautiful and it was so amazing. And like throughout the entire trip, like the kids just followed me and followed me and followed me. It was like God was taunting me with children. It was pretty funny. And so I played with them and I kept playing with them. And then on the day that Pastor Stephen had given out a little sermon and had asked these kids, you know, who would be willing to accept the love of Jesus Christ into their heart, and all, like, so many hands went up. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, am I that passionate about God? Would I be willing to throw my hands up at any moment like these kids? Like, how often do I see that here at home? And it's really not often. It's like these kids were just so full of joy and full of love, and they would be willing to accept God at any second of their life, and that was so cool. Like, it was just amazing how I got to bond with these kids, and even though they didn't know me, they saw Christ through me, and they were so passionate.
Hello, I'm Andy. And this was my second trip to Guatemala. There's a lot I could talk about, but I've narrowed it down to a few things. Anyone who knows me knows that the one thing that is closest to my heart is being able to communicate with people. And I was able to do it last year. I was one of the people on the team that people relied on to do translating, even though I'm not bilingual by any means, but I can manage. I mean, this year I had Camden and Megan's help as well, which was awesome. But it was awesome to go back and just do it again. And I discovered upon going back that I had actually gotten a little bit better at it. It helped out when we were giving out shoes at one of the medical clinics. It helped out when I got to meet the child that I sponsored through Hope of Life. And if anyone else is interested in sponsoring a child, there's cards right out there on the mission table. But I think the one thing that stood out to me most was being able to take along my ukulele and sing worship songs with them. I had beforehand translated some of our worship songs into Spanish so that we could sing them before all these people. And we did it on multiple occasions. We did it when we visited the Elder Home on the Hope of Life campus. We did it when we were trying to keep the kids occupied while they were waiting for us to do things at the medical clinic. But I think the most memorable time that I did it was the last day when we dedicated the preschool and kindergarten classroom that we had helped build. So I was up there, I was with Johnny and Camden, because Camden also brought his ukulele, and we handed out all these music sheets. The song we sang was one that I translated. It's a version of It Is Well With My Soul. And so we get down to that, we start singing it, and every single person in the crowd is singing along in Spanish. It was beautiful. And I was shaking like a leaf the entire time because I was afraid I was going to mess up a chord or something because I haven't been playing that long. But after that, we went on to pass out food bags to the villagers, and I was going to help out with doing that. I was going to help out moving them and stuff. And then all of a sudden, I get called over to the other side of the crowd, and wouldn't you know it, a bunch of the kids want me to keep doing just that, playing ukulele and singing. And so I get out all the songs that I've translated, and we just start a jam session. And all of the kids just keep on singing along with gusto. And I think the most touching moment for that was I was just sitting there playing along, and I'm not really seeing much of what's going on because my eyes are down on my music in front of me, but one of the kids was sitting next to me, and he just does this, reaches up and touches my ukulele. And just the fact that I was able to worship the Lord in their language and they were able to understand and sing along with all of their might was one of the most powerful things I've seen on this trip.
Hey, my name is Johnny. God always shows up, but he really showed off to me this trip. One of my prayers going into this trip on the plane was, God, just show me your hope. Because I knew that before this trip, just leading into it, that my hope wasn't necessarily where God wanted it to be. And why he showed off is because he actually showed me his hope physically. I didn't know what that was going to be like. But how he showed it off was actually something that Donna said, and God made me pay attention to it right when she was saying it. But last year there was a teenager named Osman, who you've probably heard about or will hear about, but that fell out of a tree. If we wouldn't have been there last year, doctor said he definitely wouldn't have survived just because we got him to the Hope of Life Hospital. And then this year, of course, with Eleazar and the brokenness that he was dealing with, and just, you could just see there's no hope in him when we got there. You could easily see that. And then by the end of the trip, you know, him saying that his hope had been restored just through us coming and showing God to him. But I really do believe this, and Donna said it when we were meeting with Osman one of the days that we were helping him get him out to the school, but that God is deciding to use in this village to bring back hope to broken kids, and I really believe that. He's using Osman, a kid who would have died if we wouldn't have been there last year, to bring back hope to this village. His family is now fully, just confessed, and they're now believers in Christ, and just through their story and seeing us come there last year with the gospel, the whole town is seeing it. And through that family, hope is being restored. And now, through Eleazar's family, we know that hope's being restored too. So what did God use for hope? How did he show me that this trip? Well, he took two broken kids who had no hope. No hope. And he's using those two broken kids out of the whole village to bring back hope. And I just love that God showed me hope through two broken kids. And how much more can we do with God's hope than those two broken kids can do? So.
Hey,
Hi, everyone. My name is Carol. This was my second trip to Guatemala. And it's so hard to pick a favorite time of the trip because every day was the highlight of the trip. Every day was my favorite. Everything just sticks out to me from this trip because it was so impactful, not just on the village, but on us as a team as well and in our own faith. But if I have to pick one moment, there was a day that we did a medical clinic in the morning and then a VBS in the afternoon. And that morning at the medical clinic, Cecile and I had the opportunity to pray over every family before they left. And that was just such a beautiful thing to be a part of. We had a translator there so they could understand us. Sometimes we didn't, so it was a little weird, but God knows that we were praying for them and he knew their prayers. But while we were doing that, Cecile and I were inviting the moms to come back at VBS so that we could share with them and meet with them while all the kids were doing the activities. So the time comes around for VBS and none of the moms show up, which sounds really discouraging, but it gets better. There were three teenage girls who showed up that we, Cecile and I, had not told to come back. We hadn't even seen them at the medical clinic. They told us they weren't even there earlier in the day. And they sat down with Cecile and I and said that they wanted to know what we had to say. So Cecile and I were a little shocked because we had something totally different planned to share with the mothers and just talk about families. But God just used that. He worked in that moment. It was all God. And we ended up being able to share our testimonies and about how relationships in this world cannot fulfill those holes in our life that only Jesus Christ can. And through our testimonies, we got to share the gospel with them. And at the end of the conversation, those three teenage girls who weren't even supposed to be there, who we didn't even invite, that showed up, they gave their life to Christ. And it was just such a beautiful moment to be a part of, and we could not have been part of that moment without you guys. We could not have gotten there without you guys. They saw the love of Jesus through the medical supplies, through the buildings that we helped build. They saw it through all of us. It wasn't just the people who were there, it was you guys too. So thank you so much for helping us get there and helping show Jesus to the village of Loma del Viento.
Hey everybody, my name is Mara. The first thing I want to say, I actually didn't say it in the last service, but as a church community, you guys should be really proud of the youth that you guys have raised up. Because Allie, Camden, Anna, Megan, they were instrumental in the ministry that we did this week, and shameless youth group plug. Because we love our youth, and they were so amazing this week. But the thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about today and wanted to share with you was a really beautiful moment that Megan actually already touched on. And the first day that we were in the village, we actually hiked to a lot of the houses up the mountain because they weren't very accessible. And we had an amazing translator. Shout out to Eddie. I already did the shout out, but I heard we weren't casting that one. So we were hiking to houses, and we were inviting children to come to our VBS. And that first day, I was just a little awestruck because I realized that the language barrier could be a significant issue. And I was a little worried about that. Like, how could we translate all the things that we need to translate when we, only a few of us speak the language? And God totally proved me wrong. Totally. The last day of VBS, I had the privilege to witness something truly beautiful. We were sharing, Pastor Stephen was sharing the gospel with 50 kids. And at the moment where he said, would any of you like to give your life to Christ, every single hand raised in that room, instantaneously, just like Megan said. And yeah. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit said to me, the only language you need to speak is the language of love that I've given to you as Christians, as my children. And I'm so thankful to each and every one of you that prayed for this team, that funded this team, that was there with us in spirit, because Loma del Viento has changed because of it. I'm changed because of it, and we're so lucky to be a part of this community. So,
I'm Allie. And I was also in the same boat as Megan. I'm not someone who's very comfortable with kids. I don't really interact with them. I'm just like, my sarcasm is way too high for them. And so for someone who's not comfortable with kids, I spent almost the entire time in the village with kids. And it was probably the best thing ever. Like, let me just tell you, it was probably the best thing ever. But the greatest part of the trip for me, if I have to pick out one thing, would be the last day in the village. And so we had to gone to the village to do the dedication and to go finish up some painting and stuff. And so while a few of our team members went and painted, I went over to the playground and I played with the kids there for a little bit. And then this one little girl, she's maybe 2 or 3 years old, came up to me and wanted me to pick her up. And so going very much outside of my comfort zone, I did it. And she wouldn't let me set her back down until her family had to go. But I held her for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, and she would give me kisses and hugs and even offered to share her juice with me, which I had to decline. But her name was Montea. But without even having an actual conversation with this girl, I'm closer with her than some people I know that speak my language. If you were to ask me where I saw God in this trip, it would be in that little girl's smile and in her hugs and in her love for me. And even if we only got to be together for a few hours, it was the greatest and most like rewarding few hours of the trip for me. And all of the kids that we were there with were just overjoyed that us Americans wanted to play with them. So all I can say to you guys is that if God is calling you to go, go. Do not hesitate. Put in your deposit and just go. God is faithful and he will do it. And just to quote one Bible verse, Matthew 25:40 says, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. So playing with that kid, you're playing with Jesus. Building that school, you're building it for Jesus. Getting that clean water, you're getting it for Jesus. So just go.
My name is Autumn, and this is my first time ever going on this trip. I didn't know what to expect, but I can sure say that when I came back, I was changed and a lot more grateful than when I had left. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And that verse kind of stuck with me throughout this week because I kept thinking, what has God given me and what am I committed to do with it? And that goes the same for the people in the village. They did not have a lot, but our presence and just the presence of God being there and just feeling loved was enough for them. Their family was enough for them. They didn't need a lot to make them happy, and it showed in their smiles and their welcoming atmosphere there. And when we were helping with the school, we had to load up bricks. And we got an assembly line, a few of us from the group, to load bricks onto the work truck. And the kids weren't expected to come and help load the bricks, but they wanted to. That's all they wanted to do was come and help. So they joined in our assembly line, started loading bricks onto the bus, doing it themselves, climbing on the bus themselves. All they wanted to do was help us and to be there with us. And just not only did we were we able to show the love of God to them, they were able to show it back to us as well. And that's something that I'll forever be eternally grateful for.
I'm Michelle. I made the dedication to go the second time this year for the Guatemala trip. I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. I didn't have the funds. But God had a purpose and a plan. And I kept reading Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. And I said, there's a reason. The first year when they said, we're going to Guatemala, and they said, I said, well, I can't do anything. I'll help with money. And they said, we're doing a medical team. And I'm like, I'm all in. So doing the wellness clinic this year and watching the people come through with fewer headaches, fewer pains, and just needing vitamins and the blessings and the love that we had to give. And stepping off that bus and seeing those kids run up and yell our names. It's been a year. They called us by name when we stepped off the bus, and they were quick to learn the new team members on their first trip. And when they go back again, they will call their names too. I know it in my heart. And just seeing when we went to the dump in the feeding center, the landfill broke my heart to watch the trash in the piles and the people in the villages gather bleach bottles, old discarded plastics, tubs, aluminum foil, plastic, whatever they could find to be served, the beans, the tortilla, the water, whatever they could find. And they gathered the plastics, and they tried to get 100 pounds of plastic in order to earn a couple, $3. And how blessed we are that we saw fewer people at the feeding center this year. And then at Hope of Life, we were also able to bless our village, Loma del Viento, by filling feeding bags. And Donna said, we're going to challenge the other team. And I'm like, you don't know what gate you're opening because we're good at this. So they challenged us to filling food bags. So we had two assembly lines, and just to watch each team fill. And it wasn't like putting a can in a box. We filled the actual corn in the bags, the beans in the bag. And to go one step farther than what we do with our Christmas boxes and our food pantry, and to step into that and feed people at the feeding center, at the dump, and to feed people in our villages and to bless them with a bag of food like we do here. We are truly reaching outside of our comfort zone, and truly every member on this team and the ones that I just felt led to come up here. I hadn't planned to say anything, but we truly, each one of us, left as acquaintances, started out as friends, and came back as a family. And there is not one member here that did not leave a piece of their heart in Guatemala with one or 10 children that we served and we loved on and we picked up and we kissed and we painted nails in the elderly home, loving on them and playing games. And I think that the church praying for our unity brought all of us even closer together. And from our hearts, I think I speak for everybody. We cannot thank our church enough for the blessings they did by helping finish our goals and our monetary funds to get us there to bless others, to see the transformation, and to see fewer people need to come to be fed because they are feeling better and they are making a difference.
I'm Matt. This is my returning trip, and ironically, I had the least amount of exposure to the children, and I happen to love kids, so it was a little bit different for me. So I want to thank you for all your contribution to getting us down there. In some way, you can look at this, how far can one church reach? It's not just a slogan, it's a mission statement. And who is the church? It's not a physical building. It's everybody. It's you. It's us. It's so the Christ-like action of you being selfless and donating to us to get us all down there, to do our Christ-like actions through us, to be the Christ, hands and feet of Christ down there, it's just incredibly valued. So how far can one church reach is that you all had an impact in these Guatemalans that are there in this village, and in hopefully, and of course, what's to come in the future and beyond what we cannot even see. I have to give a special thanks to Michelle, because last year in the triage, she triaged roughly about 250 people, and this year it was twice that much. So she was a junior. High five with that one. Okay. I think one of the most important things is I'm being told to put the microphone up to my face. It was an honor to be able to go into the village, into the individual homes, and see some people that were that had fallen ill. Middle-aged fella who lost his leg to diabetes. He was requesting a wheelchair. So we're raising funds to get a wheelchair for Osman. He's the fellow we've been talking about, young man who broke his back. So we want to try to give his wheelchair to the other guy who lost his leg. It was about 2 months prior to us being there when that happened. We got to see two other elderly women in their 80s who were sick. They've been in their beds for well over 6 months. Their legs have atrophied, so they're not able to get up. One was probably having diabetes issues and also maybe possibly a urinary tract infection, as well as the other woman having a respiratory infection. Fortunately, antibiotics are not very available down there, but they don't require a prescription, and they were incredibly cheap. So thank you, Donna, for us being able to do that. So subsequently, the next day, we were able to go see those two ladies again and give them the medications that they needed. We gave them probably roughly 3 to 4 months' supply of vitamins to help build their strength back up and get them to a healthy state. So again, thank you for all your help and all your contribution, and I don't know what to say.
Give God a hand, would you? So I think that it'd be good if we could give God a hand, this team a hand, and you a hand for your efforts. Amen. So I want to share some scripture with you today, and I want to, just for a few minutes, focus in on something that's critical for us. In the book of Romans chapter 10, the word of the Lord says this: "For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart who will go to heaven to bring Christ down to earth, and don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Will somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." Can everybody say good news? So I want to share just briefly with you today about what this text is trying to tell us. You see, when you dive into our text today, we see that Paul is telling us the relationship between Christ and the old covenant. And in it, Paul tells us that Moses wrote about the old law, but that faith speaks. Listen to me. He says in the scripture, faith speaks. Let's go to Romans 10:8. "In fact, it says," Paul says, the very message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Would everybody say hallelujah? And so there's this idea behind the idea that the message of Christ is near us, that the gospel is near us. And then we read just a few verses later that it gets us to the very crux of the gospel message. It proclaims in verse 13, "For everyone, not some, not most, not a few, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's good news. Could you give God a clap offering today? So as you study the scripture, we can ask the question, where does the message of faith and salvation reside? And Paul tells us very specifically in verse 8 that the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips. Can you say on your lips? And it is in your heart. Can you say in your heart? Now, have you ever thought or stopped to think about the powerful message and truth that is before us? That the message of truth and salvation resides on our lips and lives within our hearts. And it is for this reason, listen closely, it is for this reason there is a direct assault. Listen, people, listen, church, listen to what I'm telling you. There is a direct assault on the hearts of all of humanity. There is an assault on your heart. There are many of you here today that you come into this place broken. There are some of you that come into this place bruised. There are people that come in this place today and their hearts are not where they need to be with the Lord. You see, the enemy is real and the war is real. You see, the enemy is out to damage and pillage our hearts, for he knows that if he assaults our hearts, he can silence our lips. Did you hear me? The enemy knows that if he can pillage and break our hearts, that he will silence our lips. Today's message is entitled, Do It Again. You see, here's what you need to know today. What God has done in the life of believers is what he wants to do in the lives of non-believers. And we need to understand that. You know, in 2018, I want LFCN to be a people who comes to understand that the message of salvation is in our hearts and it's in our lips, that the message of salvation is near us. And upon recognizing this reality, I want us to be a people who continues to ask, how far can one church reach? The answer is this: how far can one church reach? Just a little bit further. How far can one church reach? Just a little bit further. You see, because here's what I want to share to you today, and this is important. We, as people of God who are near the gospel message, for people who allow the gospel in their hearts and in their lips, here's the truth. We can share the gospel of Guatemala, but we also need to realize the importance of sharing the gospel in Gladys. Can I get an amen? You see, that's what God wants us to understand. So let me share with you what God desires to do in your heart. Because here's the thing, as we begin 2018, if all I say is you need to go, you need to go, and you need to go, and you need to go, and that's all I say, I'm not going to get us where we need to go today. Because here's the truth, before God wants to send you somewhere, he wants to do something in you. And there's three things that I want to share with you today relating to your heart. The first thing is God wants us to depend on him. You guys know this message. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's a good chance today if you go home and watch football, you'll see that message show up. Because in many of our NFL football games, there are people who buy tickets in particular spots in the stadium, typically right behind the goalpost, so that they can watch the game. And then whenever there is a field goal kick, they will raise this big sign over their head that says John 3:16. The message of God is still going out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus spoke those words. Who did he speak those words to? He spoke those words to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He came to Jesus by night because he recognized that if he was caught talking to Jesus, that his reputation would be spoiled, that it would be ruined, that he would be ostracized. And it is at that place that God, through Jesus Christ, revealed to Nicodemus that what he needed to do was be born again, and that the way he would be born again was by depending on God. Yesterday was a very special day for me and my life and for my family, because here's what you need to know. Yesterday, January the 6th, in 1969, my father, Billy Cameron Willis, came into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. On January the 6th, 1969, my father, Billy, depended upon God. It was in that night that he had a dream, and in that dream, he recognized the revelation of God's return, and he woke up out of that dream, and despite being on a shrimp trawler many, many miles into the Atlantic Ocean, the heart of my dad was stirred. And so in the middle of the night, my father would get on his face on the Miss Vicky shrimp trawler, and he would give his heart to Christ. And as a result of my father depending on God that day for salvation, the history and the legacy of my family would forever be changed. My friends, today, if you're here and if you've never depended upon Christ for salvation, make the decision, because it will change your life and those who will follow. Will somebody say hallelujah? And here's the thing. There are many of you here who have depended on Jesus as Savior. So let me just ask you, if you're here today and you have depended on Jesus to become Savior of your soul, and you know He has cleansed you from all unrighteousness, would you say really loudly, hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Say it again.
Hallelujah.
One more time.
Hallelujah.
How about again?
Hallelujah.
Man, Satan hates that. How about again?
Hallelujah.
How about one more time?
Hallelujah.
Oh, man, one more time.
Hallelujah.
I just say, right? But here's the thing. There are some of you who have depended on God for salvation. But there's also this other truth today, that despite the fact you've depended on God on salvation, there are many of you here today who are broken. You have broken hearts. Maybe someone that you love has wronged you. Maybe you have made decisions that have harmed yourself. Maybe broken dreams and broken things in your life. Because here's what I want you to know today. The same God that desires for you to depend on Him, He desires to mend your heart. He desires to mend your heart. And the scripture tells us in Psalm 147:3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. If you study scripture, you come to realize that the God that we serve, if you're really looking for Him, the best thing for you to do is go find broken people. Because when you go find broken people, you find God. If you study scripture, you come to understand that God is near the brokenhearted. Hey guy, hey girl, maybe you're going through a divorce and your whole life has been shattered and you're experiencing death right now. Don't let the enemy fool you. God is near the brokenhearted. Maybe you're here today and you scrap just enough money together to put gas in your tank and you're not going to be sure where it's going to come next week. I just want to assure you, God is near you. Maybe you're unemployed. Maybe you're currently being overcome by an addiction. I want you to know that God is present, that God is near the brokenhearted. You heard us talk about Osmond. Just real quick about Osmond, our team last year was told by teachers that there was this boy who at the age of 16 years old fell out of a tree, and as a result of his fall out of the tree, he was paralyzed from his waist down. They took us to his home. The medical guy's team that we had there was actually overwhelmed, because when they found him, he was on this outside patio furniture chair. That's the best they could do for him. And when the medical team got there to him and they rolled him over, there was an open wound in his back that you could put your fist in. And so that evening, through the help of Donna, and many of you need to know, Donna is our rock star from World Help. Would you give it up for Donna? Yeah. And really, really cool thing. I know they're going to be excited because they always like being out in front of people. Mark and Nikki, who Mark is one of the international leaders, directors at World Help. We're friends, right, Mark? Because I've been telling people we're friends. Me and Mark are friends, and Nikki and Adam, we friends too. Adam's not sure. Oh, okay, he gave me a thumbs up. He delayed a little bit. They're a part of our church. And so we went to Donna and we said, Donna, well, we've got to do something. And Donna got on the phone with her connection, because for those of you who don't understand, Lynchburg First Church of the Nazarene, World Help, which is located here in Forest, and Hope of Life, which is the Guatemalan ministry in Guatemala, we are a rope made of three cords, which is not easily broken. And so we work in conjunction with each other, and we each have our own particular task when it relates to Guatemala. As a matter of fact, Donna gets us there and back. She's got a 100% record. For those of you who are thinking about going, we've not lost anybody yet, okay? And we're hoping to stay at least around 98%, okay? And Donna helps us get there, and the Hope of Life team is there to help us as well. And so there's this correlation. So as soon as we found Osmond, we got to work. And there was a work team from Hope of Life that day who cleaned out the back of the truck and actually put Osmond and his mother on that truck and took them immediately to the Hope of Life hospital, okay? So doctors tell us later, he stayed there for months. If we do not find Osmond when we find him, affection would have set into his back, and he would eventually have died within a matter of weeks. Okay, so now Osmond stayed at Hope of Life. He's been there. Now he's back home. But when we went to visit Osmond, we noticed that he was held in confinement on his back porch because he's still paralyzed from his waist down and will forever be paralyzed unless there's some miraculous healing that takes place in his life. And we noticed that he couldn't get off of his porch. And so we just thought, this ain't right. Like, we need to do something about this. We hadn't planned to, but we got talking. And so we took some of our leaders and some of the Hope of Life leaders, and we went to Osmond's house, and we began to engineer and understand how we could actually build him a ramp out of concrete that could get him off his back porch. So in Osmond's hearing us talking about the fact that we are going to build him a ramp so that he can come and go as he pleases, he puts his hands on his face like this, and I have never seen joy in a human being like, well, maybe when Lisa married me, but other than that, I mean, there was great joy there. I mean, now, in all seriousness, I had never seen greater joy in the life of a young boy. He put his hands on his face like this, and he began to smile, and it was euphoric for Osmond. And then I heard the Lord speak. It wasn't audible. It was a lot louder than me. This is what I heard the Lord say. As clearly as I'm standing in front of you today in a blue shirt, he said, "Stephen, what you have done for the least of these, you have done for me." And then I heard him say, "Have you ever seen me in a wheelchair?" I don't know about you, but I have a lot of ideas of what Jesus looks like. But not once in my life had I ever seen Jesus as a 17-year-old paraplegic who will forever be confined to a wheelchair. And as I walked back down the road, I walked out in front of everybody because I didn't have sunglasses to put on. You see, you might not have paralysis, but there is brokenness throughout this room today. There's broken marriages. There's broken finances. There are broken dreams. You hear? Here's what I want you to hear, people. God isn't just here to save you and for you to depend on him. He desires to mend your heart in order that you might be all that he desires for you to be. The third thing that God wants to do in our hearts, it's a word that maybe some of you have never even really used or heard of. Not only does God want us to depend on him, and not only does he want to mend our hearts, the third thing he wants to do is he wants to rend our hearts. Can everybody say rend? Here's what rend means. Rend means to separate into parts or force, with force or violence, to tear apart, to split or divide. You're like, "Pastor, why? Read that again. What? God wants to rend our hearts, and it means to separate into parts or with force or violence, to tear apart or split or divide. Pastor, did you drink the water in Guatemala?" No, I didn't drink the water in Guatemala. But listen to me. One of the biggest issues in the human heart, you got to listen. One of the biggest issues in the human heart is our propensity to try to fill our hearts and to chase after things that ultimately compete with God. I mean, I can look back over my life and clearly see the things that were in direct competition for roaming my heart. I can remember as a kid, I was determined that I was going to be an NBA basketball player, so God made me 5'7". But in my mind, that sounds crazy. No, but as a kid, that was my dream. That's all I cared about. I would come home from school and I would throw my book bag in the living room and I would go right out to the yard and I would start playing and shooting because in my heart, that's all I cared about. And as a small kid, it might sound novel, it might sound crazy, but at that time in my life, the thing that was competing with God's will for my life was my own desires. And later they got more advanced. And they also got more shallow because in college, I'm going to be honest with you, the thing that competed with God, and this does not make me look very good at all, but the thing that competed with God most when I was in college was my new Honda Prelude sports car. I washed that thing 3 times a day. It was everything. I worked extra hours while in college because I thought it was all about possessing something. Now I have no idea where that car's at, but I guarantee you the way I drove it, it's not on the road anymore. It was competing for my heart. There were other times in my life where relationships with other people was competing with my heart for God. Because here's the thing in our culture today, a lot of people want to talk about being saved, and a lot of people want to be talking about going to heaven. But let me ask you this, what is it in your heart today that is competing with God? Because we all got them. You see, what God wants us to do is depend on Him for salvation. But that is only the beginning. What He wants to do is He wants to mend our hearts from all brokenness. And the third thing He wants us to do is He wants to rend our hearts. He wants us to remove all of those things that are in competition with Him, because that's what He desires to do. You know, this week while doing my devotional in Guatemala, I read these words from Oswald Chambers. He said, "I am determined to be absolutely and entirely for Christ and Christ alone." And I read it again. "I am determined to be absolutely and entirely for Christ and Christ alone." And I read it again. "I am determined to be absolutely and entirely for Christ alone." And as I read it again, tears began to stream down my face, because as I read it, I heard the Spirit saying to me, "Don't just read it, Stephen, but own it. Don't just read it. Own it. Make this quote not something you know, but something you strive to obtain in 2018. Because here's what I want you to know. There's this lie in our culture today, and the lie says something like this: just follow your heart. That is stupid. You're like, "We don't use that word in my house." Well, we're not in your house. Because people who say, "I don't have any other good theological word for it," those of you who say, "Follow your heart," that's stupid. Because the Scripture tells us that the heart, human heart, apart from God, cannot be trusted. That the human heart is evil, and that it leads us away from God. You see, here's the thing about it. We can't allow ourselves to follow our hearts, but rather we have to allow God and His Word and the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts toward what He desires for us. Would somebody say hallelujah? And for those who depend on God for salvation, for those who allow God to mend their hearts, for those who allow God to rend their hearts, then the fourth and final thing that God will do is He will send us. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the Scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." I want some pretty feet. How about you? You all know I'm not a foot guy. I wear socks all the time. But man, the Scripture tells us. I was in Guatemala. I didn't have socks on one day, and one of the team members said, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh yeah, I need socks on." How beautiful are the feet that bring good news. Carlos Vargas, who is the guy who founded Hope of Life in Guatemala, one of those three forks that I was talking about, three prongs, he's the greatest visionary I've ever met. He wakes up with dreams and believes God's going to do it, and it does. And as a result of that, he's transformed Guatemala. He spoke to our team this week, and this is what he said. "I am so grateful that you came to Guatemala, because Guatemala has so many needs." He said, "But when you leave here this week, you don't forget this. When you go back to your home, there's a Guatemala there waiting for you as well." You see, because being on mission knows nothing about borders. It knows nothing about nations. Being on mission has everything to do with our hearts. And when we depend on God, you got to listen to me now. When we depend on God for salvation, and when we allow Him to mend our hearts, because here's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to destroy our hearts, because he knows if he breaks our hearts and he destroys our hearts, he will silence our lips. So that mending part's very important, allowing God to mend your heart. that as we depend on him for salvation, when we allow him to mend our hearts, and then when we take away all of those competing passions with God and our hearts are rended and broken toward him, then here's the thing, you can't help but being sent. It'll change the way you see things. And so I saw Osmond sitting in that chair, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, what you've done for the least of these, you have done for me. And the Lord asked me, do you see me, Stephen? Do you see me? A day or two later, I was in the Hope of Life Hospital. They have one wing of the Hope of Life Hospital, one room that is completely reserved for the ones who are the most broken. I'm talking about some of the greatest deformities that you've ever seen in human bodies you'll see in that room. It's disturbing. I'm just going to be honest with you. Just going into the room will change your life. And wouldn't you know it, the Lord spoke up to me again as I sat in that room that day over one of the most deformed bodies that I had ever seen in my life. I felt like the Lord say to me, do you see me again? Do you see me? What could God do in this congregation in 2018? Can I tell you something? In 2017, I'm going to let you know, there was a couple of months that I just felt like God was silent. You ever been there? And it was during the silence where I would say, search me, O God, I know my heart, and test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting. And God, I need you to speak. I need you to speak. I want to share something with those of you who have been walking in faith. Sometimes the greatest trust that God can display in your life is just being quiet. Because it's during those times of silence that he grows your faith even more. Where you say, God, where are you? It seems like everybody else is still listening. It sounds like everybody else is hearing you. It seems like God seems to be moving in unbelievable ways. Where are you? And for a little while there, it just like I felt like the Lord was silent. But I want to let you know something, that over the last couple of months, after the silence came past, that I felt like the Lord's been saying some things to me. I've been here for 16 years. It'll be 17 years in August. And you know what I believe? I feel like the Lord has confirmed in my heart that 2018 may be the greatest year in the history of this congregation. And for those of you who have been hanging around, you know this is not something I say every January. You've been here. You know that. You would remember. God has been speaking to me, I feel like, in new and profound ways, where he's saying, Stephen, you think it's been good so far. You wait till 2018. I want to remove the top off of this thing. I want to use this church in ways that you never even dreamed. But you know what it'll take? It'll take each one of us to saying, God, I want to depend on you. God, I not only want to depend on you, I want you to mend our hearts. And I not only want you to mend our hearts, I want you to rend our hearts and steal away all of those things that have been in competition with you so that you can send me. That you, send me to Guatemala and we're going back and you can put your $100 deposit in today. But not just Guatemala. What about Gladys? What about your workplace where there are a lot of lost and desperate people who are going to hell? Or how about your neighborhood where there are neighbors who live differently than you? Or how about your high school or your middle school? Or how about the cashier at Walmart or Walgreens or McDonald's or Chick-fil-A? And oh, what would God do if we would become a congregation that depends? A congregation that allows God to mend. A congregation that allows God to rend our hearts so that he might send us. I believe his promises are true. I believe that as bright as the present is, as bright as the past has been for this local congregation, I believe as your lead pastor who's been here for 16 years, going on 17 years, I believe that the future is brighter. I believe that the future is richer. I believe that the future has us doing more for the kingdom of God, that upon his return, we all might stand in his presence and hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I'm on board. I hope you join me. Today, in our closing, we're going to pray that the God would send us. And the only other thing we're going to do is this. We got a bunch of kids in Loma del Viento. I've hugged every one of them. 190 families, a little over 900 people, and somewhere around 500 children. A lot of kids. I think I've hugged every one of them. Some of you maybe have an interest in supporting one of our kids in Loma del Viento. For $35 a month, you can do it. Don't grab one if you can't. Pray about it. If you don't know for sure today, don't do it. Get back with us later. But what we've seen in Guatemala is this. Let me give you the final report. We went there and committed to dedicating and doing village transformation in that village, okay? That village has been ignored for well over a decade. And when the government found out that we had adopted the village and was bringing clean water to the village, the government, who had been ignoring them for nearly over a decade, dedicated $60,000 to put a second story on their school. My friend Sony stood in a classroom. They called it a classroom. It was nothing but tin with a dirt floor. And Sony cried in that classroom because she thought, what if my child had to come to this school? Now you fast forward less than 2 years later, that classroom is no longer there because it is actually a stairwell leading up to the second story. So the government has added a second story. Watch this. When we got there, you went to school first through sixth grade and that was it. This past week, the government is finishing the second story of the school and we built a kindergarten classroom. So now in Loma del Viento, starting in the coming weeks and months when that addition is finished, you can go to school for free from kindergarten to 11th grade. Would somebody give God a clap offering? The contractor who is government employed took me up on the second floor as well as the rest of the team and showed us their new computer lab. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but they are dreaming about what education could do. So I want to say this. As I was standing on the steps dedicating that new kindergarten wing, I was able to say this. Know this. The only place where there is hope for the future of Loma del Viento first resides in Jesus Christ. And it is in that name that we come to bring education to your village. Lives are being transformed because of your obedience. Now let me say this to you. Where's your Guatemala? And will you say yes? Let's pray. Lord, today we thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you, Lord, for this generous church. I thank you, Lord, for Vernon Brewer and the people of World Help, for Donna and Mark and Nikki and that team. I thank you for Carlos Vargas and the Guatemalan Ministry of Hope of Life. Thank you that we can come together, for a rope made of three cords is not easily broken. Holy God, may we be challenged to depend on you. May we be encouraged that you desire to mend our hearts. May we be challenged for you to rend our hearts into your image, that we may go in 2018 as a sent people. A people who live realizing that our salvation's just not about us, but it's about those who have yet to believe. May we be on mission with you as you return. May we be ready, for we ask it in your Son's name. Amen.